Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Souls, the channel. Sports in Depth is the show. It is a Thanksgiving special here on the day after we celebrate and give thanks, and every day should be Thanksgiving. Dear Lord, is how we always open it. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day, and every day is Thanksgiving, and to homage and to you we pray. We thank you, dear Lord, for little things we so largely take for granted. We thank you, dear Lord, for blessings unseen, all undeserved, all unmerited. We thank you for your daughter, son Jesus, that died on the cross that we may have the right to the tree of life. We thank you, dear Lord. As that man once said, although we do not live on Park Avenue, by the grace of God, we don't live on Park Bench. The lady once said, you are God all by yourself. Thank you, dear Lord, that we are born in America. Bless our presence. And more importantly, let your will, let your way be first and foremost in all things. We ask these blessings in the name of your daughter, son Jesus, and for you are God all by yourself. In Jesus' name, the Lord. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports and Devil, the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports and Devil, the show. It is a gobble day. Where they at? Here they come. Here come the posse. Oh, yeah. The crew is in. The crew is in, baby. Little Coco Mel Smith Jr., Destinio, baby Lois, and the Hoopster. We're going to talk a lot of things here. We've got a solid hour here. We're going to talk football, we're going to talk basketball, we're going to talk boxing. Tim Smith is going to join us. We got him and Larry Hardesty and a guy named Leonardo Samuels and Ed Randall. So a lot of things to do in this half hour, in this hour. And we want to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. And that comes from the top, our CEO, Mr. Neil Blake, the first lady of Blake Radio Rainbow Soul, Lady D.J. Drishula, the first lady right here, Lady A., Adrian Pasquale, Destino Baby Lois, Little Mel Smith, Little Coco, Harold Weston Jr., Sea Wings, the captain extraordinaire in football, Mel Smith Jr. And we just want to take this opportunity to say how thankful we are that you are listening to us every day here on Rainbow Soul and catching Sports in Depth when we're on the air. It is a Friday, the day after Turkey Day, and everybody is having turkey soup. Second helpings, actually the fourth or fifth helping if you're dusty. And they're also having the, looking back, we're going to talk football, and we're going to kick it off real quick. We're going to listen to, 2 weeks ago at this time, the Jets had won a huge football game against the Buffalo Bills, so now they play again this Sunday. They had been helped by their rivals and brothers in football at the MetLife Stadium, the Giants, who had beat the New England Patriots. And a big football was coming up on Sunday. The England Patriots were coming in town, and the Jets won this game. They go into first place by themselves, and they had a Thursday game against the not-so-good Denver Broncos. Well, we know what happened. They lost to the New England Patriots and then went to Denver and lost. And it looks like for all practical purposes that their football season is over. That great line by Sea Wings, now they're shooting for the wild card. But let's listen to Larry Hardesty, who talked about the New England Patriots, who somehow are still the team to beat in the East, in the same division as the New York Jets.
Enables you to keep going. They don't play as well. They're not as dominant as they were. But right now, Doc, it's all about wins and losses, and they sit on top of the division. They've got 6 wins, and they're playing well. And the one thing about Belichick teams, as you get near the end of the season, they round into shape, and they improve, and they improve, and they improve. So by the end of the season, if they make the playoffs, you don't want to face them because they're running on all cylinders.
They're only going to get better. The best to ever do it, Larry Hardesty, ESPN's reporter and the greatest African American sports caster in the history of New York City. Radio. And my friend, Larry, thanks a million. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depp on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports and Depp is the show.
Rooney, that kind of about sums it up. I mean, they came into town here with the worst passing defense in all the NFL. They came in here with two back-to-back losses, and they came in here with the Jets off of three straight wins, and yet, even with a safety, and down 9-7, there's Brady, bingo, they get a touchdown, it's 13-7, they never look back. We concurred, Rooney, Jets, first time getting the football, didn't score any points for all intents and purposes. Not only was the crowd out of the game, but psychologically, the Jets were out of the game, Rooney.
You know, Doctor, and thanks again for the kind words. We do have an incredible panel, as always. I just want to say, Doc, that, you know, I have to say, I'm trying to think of who was. Was it Cromartie who called the offensive line out some
Santana Holmes. It was Holmes.
Okay, Holmes. Well, I think that I know that you're supposed to keep these things in-house and what have you. But, Doc, they are playing. It was an absolute joke, okay? I think everything starts from the quarterback one as far as the offense, all right? Yes, Sanchez has regressed, but he's got no help. His offensive line has been a joke. They cannot protect him. He has no running game to speak of. On those very few times when he does have time to throw and hit the receiver, they're dropping passes on him left and right. The kid has regressed because basically he hasn't been that great and he's not no help. He has no protection. He has no time to throw the ball. When he does, the great Schottenheimer won't let him throw the ball down the field to try to loosen up the defense. No running game to speak of. The defensive line has been just as horrific. No pass rush. They can't stop the run. You know, Doc, this spells dooms and doom in this league. When you can't run the ball and you can't stop the run. When you can't pass the ball and you can't stop the pass. The Jets played it on the cheek this offseason. No Braylon Edwards, no Brad Smith, no Jericho Cotchery, which all three guys were basically the security blanket for Sanchez, and all three are gone.
No, Rooney, a tremendous point. As you say, can I use your camera? A point well taken. And, you know, it's amazing that you mentioned that. I'm saving Tim Smith, who's going to set away into dust. Dusty's over there throwing jabs and hooks. He's warming up. He's getting ready to come in. Ding, ding, ding.
I got to interject, Doc. You and I are the most fortunate guys to be here today, Sports in Depth. You know why?
Why?
Because President Obama pardoned us two turkeys so we can show up today.
You know what? Speak for yourself, babe. I'm a drumstick, baby. I'm a drumstick. I'm beating the beat.
Doc Stanley,
Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports in Depth, the show. It's a Sports in Depth Thanksgiving Day special, and we just want to thank you all for always being here, and thanks always goes upstairs to the man upstairs. You know, Joe Frazier, I remember that interview we did with Joe, and the great Marion Boykin. I always say Marion B. Boykin, and the B stands for black, bodacious, brilliant, and a brother. And Marion asked Joe, you know, who was the greatest? And Joe said, no, they ain't the greatest. They ain't but one greatest, he said. And the man upstairs, and I remember reading Elvis Presley said, when Elvis found the king, Elvis said, there ain't but one king. His name is Jesus Christ. And
absolutely.
We're looking at excuse me, that's definitely agreeing with you there. We're looking at yesterday's games. We got the hoops in the background. You NBA people, hold tight. He's got something to tell us. And he also told us just a long time ago, hold tight, hoops. Yesterday's football games, looking at it, you know, wow, the Packers come back and win and stay undefeated. Okay, then we have the Cowboys who come back and win and stay in first place. Okay,
right.
And then we have the Ravens who come back and win and stay in the picture in their division. So three big games, no Ray Lewis. Dusty, I want to bring in here.
Yeah.
The Dolphins game, I'm looking at that game. It's 2:35 left, and they don't call a timeout. I'm saying, whoa. Why are you not calling a timeout with two? They wait until it gets down to the 2-minute warning, and then they wait until Dallas I'm thinking, like, I said, who's quarterbacking this team? Dusty?
Well,
I mean, on the real side, Dusty.
It's not so much who's quarterbacking the team, Doc. Who's coaching the team? Who's coaching the team? Who's the brain I mean, mm-hmm. you have the sideline brains and you got the upstairs brains overlooking the whole picture, and nobody's smart enough to say, hey, let's play with the time. Let's call a timeout and redress or whatever and regroup and see how we can beat these guys. These guys are beatable. It was like a tennis match. Advantage Miami, advantage Cowboys. The Cowboys weren't any greater than Miami, but Miami had the impetus, and yet they blew it, though, with not calling that timeout. And the Cowboys turned around and ate the clock, and then, what was it, kicked the field goal? And
2 seconds. I mean, I'm saying it's 2:35. It's 2:35. If you stop the clock, okay, you stop them. Now they pass. Maybe they stop the clock again. Now you got the 2-minute warning. Now everybody was saying, Dusty and Little Coco, they kept saying, well, why don't Miami just let them go on and score? I said, no, they can't let them score because if they score, then the gap is too big. You make them take the field goal, and you can come back and beat them by 1 point. And
absolutely.
As it turned out, the Cowboys. I didn't realize that last year my brother was a Cowboy fan. How about them Cowboys? But they won a big game yesterday.
Almost looking good.
You know, it's become a tradition. I remember the only game on Thanksgiving used to be the Detroit Lions. And then you had the Cowboys came in about maybe a decade ago. Time moves so fast. So now you've got two games for sure. The Cowboys are going to be playing at home, and the Lions are going to be playing at home on Thanksgiving Day. So you got yourself, and then last night they had the good game with the Ravens. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel. Sports and Death is the show. And, well, let's listen to Tim Smith talk about something that we've been talking about for the longest time right here on Sports and Death. The number one boxing sports writer of our era and time, New York Daily News, and a friend to all of us, Tim Smith.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports and Death is the show of the greatest boxing writer of our generation, Tim Smith. Timmy Marquez Pacquiao, somebody got robbed.
Marquez got robbed. It's a complete robbery. I had it scored 8-4 for Marquez. I thought he carried the fight. I thought he landed the clear, harder punches, and I thought, he won and he didn't get the decision. Happens a lot in boxing, but in this particular case, I think it stinks.
You said that with blind across. Tim, it seems like to me that Barbara doesn't want to make Mayweather Pacquiao.
That seems what it that appears to be, what it is to me as well. I think that, Bob's an astute boxing guy. He's been around a long time. He knows that they've created something special with Pacquiao, and he knows that it's going to be over, once Mayweather gets a hold of him. And I think they're going to try to ride this for as long as they can, stretch it out for as long as they can, and, he doesn't want to see it end. So, the only way not to see it in is not to have these guys meet anytime soon.
Wow. Lester, but are we going to have a fight here in Madison Square Garden and all of a sudden they're discovering that Margarito doesn't have a license?
They're concerned. They say is the eye. I find the timing a little bit strange because he had the eye surgery in May, and he was here in September. They could have examined the eye at that point and determined whether to license him then or not, and to wait 2 weeks before the fight was supposed to actually go off. It's a bit unfair to, the Garden and the people that have bought tickets to the fight here in New York, and that we're expecting a good fight here in New York. I thought if they wanted to not license Antonio Margarito, they had a really good reason not to, because the state of California didn't relicense him after he was he had his license revoked out there for trying to fight with loaded hand wraps, and neither did Nevada. They sent the matter back to California, and the only place he got a license was in Texas. So I thought New York had an opportunity at that point, if they did not want him here, to say, okay, you're not going to get a license here. But having already said that they were willing to give him a license regardless of that, and now to have the timing as such, you're 2 weeks away from the fight, it just seems a bit unfair and a bit strange. I don't know, why the timing is as it is, but, I think the commission dropped the ball on this one.
No question about it. Last two questions. Who would you take if they do fight Cotto Margarito?
I think Cotto's got a lot more left than Antonio Margarito. I think, you know, the Pacquiao fight took a lot out of Antonio Margarito, as evident by the fractured eye socket and the damage to his right eye, which he had to have surgically repaired. So I like Cotto. I think Cotto's made a remarkable comeback from, you know, his beating at the hands of Manny Pacquiao and at Margarito's hands. So.
Last thought from the best boxer of my time. Thoughts and reflections on Smoking Joe Frazier.
Oh, man, Joe is a man's man, you know what I'm saying? It's a sad day for boxing. I think it's even sadder. What I think is even sadder is that there's nothing in Philadelphia that commemorates Joe Frazier, his adopted hometown.
Right.
You know, but Joe was forever linked with Ali, and, you know, they had, you know, three great fights. But I think that Joe always was a giant in his own right, and I don't think when he was alive he really got the due that he, you know, so richly deserved for being, you know, a champion, a great champion and a man's man. And, you know, in death he got some of that. And so, you know, from reflection, it's good that he got the due, but I wish he had gotten it when he was alive.
Yeah. Billy Holly says, America, you're not famous till you're dead, and, you know, one rose in the hand of living is better than countless wreaths on the grave. The greatest, Tim, always good to see you. Get back to the game. Thanks a lot. One last question, and this has been asked a lot. Tyson in his prime, Frazier in his prime. Who wins that one?
Ooh, that's a train wreck right there, boy. You know what? I think Joe probably had more mental fortitude than Tyson did. And I think, you know, while it wouldn't have been Foreman Frazier in the sense that Joe would have gotten knocked down six times,
yeah.
I think Joe would have won that fight.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he probably would have at some point found Mike's weakness, and Mike probably would have bailed.
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot.
Okay, man.
Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the Channel Sports Network, the show, the greatest sponsor around of our generation. Luckily for me, a friend too, Tim Smith.
Well, Dusty, I'm going to use that as my segue into you. He said something that a lot of people didn't want to think about boxers in general. I mean, they always talk about certain guys they see as cerebral and certain guys they don't. And Joe was never seen as cerebral as he was. And he was a little scientist in that ring.
Well, you know, Joe Frazier was a down-home, I guess, complimentarily. He was a down-home hillbilly. He came from Beaufort, South Carolina, settled with his parents in North Philadelphia, and I don't know what, with all respect to him, the extent of his formal education, but he was working. He went to work, a down-home blue-collar dude, went to work, got into boxing, and I believe there was something similar to him in Rocky, that he was working in a meat market, pounding beef, you know, and this is how Joe Frazier made his bones, so to speak, and, you know, became Olympic heavyweight champ and then world heavyweight champ. But he was a humble man. He was a humble man who fathered 11 children. And let me tell you, from being a humble man, and we question his formal education. We don't know his formal education.
He had
children who went out to college and became big people. Marvis is a pastor. His daughter Jackie Frazier, who in my opinion almost knocked out Laila Ali, and Laila Ali.
Dusty, if you lost money in the fight, there's no time to be bitter about it. Okay?
No.
Let it go, Dusty.
Hold on a second, Doc. Jesus, man. I mean, I'm giving you a synopsis to your answer. No, okay. And
good evening, gentlemen.
She was a lawyer. Hello?
T. Wings, okay. Good evening, gentlemen.
Oh, good evening, Steven. How are we doing? And she was, all his children did well. And he did not yet get the due. And here, a celluloid giant gets a statue. And he, a real giant in the ring, I mean, does not get a statue. And
you know, in the words of your boxing mate, sad and touching, Dusty, sad and touching that sort of thing happens. That a fake champion is recognized over a real champion. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Souls, the channel Sports and Depth Show, one of our boxing champions. We've got two in the house, Justino Baby Lois, Golden Glove champion winner, and also a top-rated middleweight in his day, and Harold Weston Jr. C-Wings, you're in here with us now. And Dusty, thanks a lot. What I like about this panel here, you know, they just bring you here. We bring you things that you never hear anyplace else, or you hear it. Somebody told me, he said, Doc, it's no question in my mind that the sportswriters
listen to our show because they keep saying things, they keep doing things that we've said to be done or we've mentioned. Sea Wings, it looked like for all intents and purposes that the Jets did that. I'm gonna get back to Larry Hardesty and come in with you. Larry talks to me after the Giant game. And let's listen to Larry Hardesty one more time.
With Rainbow Souls, just for them show the boxing.
I mean, the football genes are not Bobby Child.
Bobby Child.
Just enchanted with the situation of the rankings this year, this week in college football. Your reflections and thoughts on the rankings and the hip hopping and so called shenanigans that are going on?
It's just college football. I mean, it's all about money. So there's always people influenced and making their votes based upon money. I don't even pay any attention to it, to be honest with you, because it's such a joke. Given the amount of money that college football generates, they should have a playoff system. They're trying to make it sound like, well, they're saying to the kids' education and everything, which is just nonsense out there. And actually, there's a report that came out this week just showing how much the college coaches make. So college football, huge money out there. The rankings, just another way for them to, you know, just boost revenue and earnings out there. That's going to lay people to go to bowl games and everything. So it's just a big hypocrisy.
Well, Bobby, you know, we're talking about coaches and everybody's talking about the Penn State situation. Some thoughts and reflections on what happened there.
It's just a sad and tragic event out there that this gentleman was allowed to, you know, even when you hear his comments, you're like, you tell there's something not right with him and everything. That, you know, he says, that, you know, he took a shower with a kid, but it's just horsing around. I don't know any 55-year-old man that takes showers with kids. And the sad part about it is, you know, Joe Paterno actually did touch and influence a lot of young men's lives and actually helped them become better men out there. And all that's going to be wiped away because of some bad judgment that he's made. This one time he made some bad judgment.
Right now, third quarter, Giants, Philadelphia, haven't been playing well. But as Jamie said, you know, it's a division game. It's Philadelphia Giants. You got to be prepared. They're going to really come to play. And right now, they're playing pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, right now they're dominating the both lines. The defensive line, they're putting pressure on the Giants. And offensively, the Giants are not getting any pressure on Vince Young. And I'm sure the Giants' defense was coming in to stop McCoy, which caused them not to have such a ferocious pass rush. But they're not putting any pressure whatsoever on there. And with these rookie linebackers they have, Giants going to be in trouble tonight.
Bobby Childs from Kiss FM, football guru. And we'll get back to our football guru, who does not only just the Jets and the Giants, but also college football. Sea Wings, how come there has been a long problem with this thing of a playoff system that will have, at the end of the year, who is really number one? Why has this been such a long going on problem?
Well, you have in college football, you have so many different conferences, the SEC, the Pac, Pac-10. It's just so many different teams, more teams than the, AA and different conferences
right.
That's what makes college football so unique. I mean, it's a very weird system. You can be undefeated, number one, and you lose a conference game and you drop the number seven. I mean, I just never understood that college football system. I mean, it has to generate money. Everything is about money.
Yeah.
You know, as we see, they try to crucify the players for taking, you know, these gifts and things like that, when in fact, this Sandusky scandal has really blew the lid off of, you know, college football and how, you know, they try to cover their own and protect their own.
Mm-hmm.
As we know with the Sandusky thing, you know, obviously it's allegations, but we can see with his interview with Bob Costas, very, very weird. I mean, he asked him, are you sexually attracted to young boys? And, I mean, the average person who was innocent, and this is my opinion, would be screaming to the hilltops of Georgia, to the west coast of the United States, that they're innocent. This guy had to think about it. I mean, you have to think about whether you're sexually attracted to young boys. That's
and
insane.
You have to think.
And everyone draws some sort of responsibility, even from Joe Paterno. I mean, as per the law, he did what he was supposed to do as far as reporting, you know, to his supervisors. But, I mean, come on, let's look at it. Joe Paterno was Penn State. Who was his supervisor? Who was his supervisor? An athletic director? He had Joe Paterno had more power than the president of the college.
They said Joe Paterno generated $1 billion a year.
He brought in money every year, right? But can I ask you a question?
How much did you say?
$1 billion.
What's a billion?
I saw told me he was worth $1 billion per year at that college. Contacts, influences. Who wanted
so
to ask a question?
Here's your answer. There's your answer right there, Doctor. Here's your answer right there.
It was a cover up from the word go. They figured this guy was wielding way too much power to be called on it. They said the guy's bringing in the revenue, bringing us the numbers. Don't ruffle his feathers. He's all powerful. You know what they say about the, what is it? Too much power. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. So we're talking money green. That's the problem, right? That's why nobody. I'm not going to mince any words, y'all. Right? As far as I am concerned, involving this particular issue and scandal, Paterno was a disgrace.
Exactly. This is what I'm asking. Paterno cleans his hands like Pontius Pilate with reporting what he was told or saw. And that's as far as he went. I mean, you could go up the chain of command, and when the chain of command doesn't operate, you have to find some means to correct an egregious, heinous act. Now, this individual supposedly had a sex history with one of his own relatives. So, my God, what is going on here? And everybody has accolades and little altars and poor Joe Paterno, but you're right. Little Mel, he did not do what he was supposed to do because he was
the cash cow
of Penn State. That was
nonsense. The whole thing was an absolute disgrace, Dusty. And like I said, I'm not pulling any punches here because when you're talking about defenseless children, now you know I'm taking off all the gloves and putting on the brass knuckles, okay?
Rainbow Soldiers Channel, Sports and Death of the show. You hear the panel? I think they said everything that needed to be said about that.
Hey, I'm Doc.
There's nobody with clean hands. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, they want to take down that statue, and also that coach lied. He didn't tell the police anything.
And they're taking his name off, what is it, the Big Ten thing that you mentioned. Yeah, I believe it was that.
He didn't say anything about it. He ain't covered that up.
Okay.
He ain't told nobody nothing.
Yeah, only Atlanta. You know, somebody that's
too,
always
Doc,
telling us, huh?
Yeah, another thing too, Doc, that we've had generations and decades and millenniums of Joe Paternos. Where are our Joe Paternos of color or Latinos, man? These guys,
you know,
run
Dusty,
these
hear the
colleges.
Point. I'm glad. You know what got me? We're gonna talk to callbacks. You know what got me, Dusty, and what got me?
Yeah.
And I talked to Rooney about this. Steve Wings, you still with us, aren't you? No,
I'm
football.
Still, yeah.
What got me? Because we're gonna do a callbacks and we'll get back to football. What got me was I was, and I'm not gonna stay on. In fact, as long as things change and remain the same, how did the pitcher, Verlander, who won the Cy Young, also get the MVP, and then Bryan gets the MVP in the National League. Kemp is almost a Triple Crown winner, and the amazing thing about it is that both of these guys lost to guys who were not guys of color. I mean, it's been established for years that a pitcher, I mean, the year that Clemens won in '86, that's the last time a pitcher won MVP. I still thought Rice should have won it, but at least Clemens completed it. But, I mean, this guy here, in today's market, a pitcher, the most valuable pitcher on a team, without question, has got to be the guy in the bullpen because he saves the games. But how did this guy cop both the MVP and the Cy Young? And I thought Granville, who's on the team that won the division outright, he's playing center field, playing great center field, giving you great defense, hitting 47 home runs, leading the league in RBIs.
Granville.
And Cano. Both of them. Cano, too.
Cano came in
sixth. Yeah.
Well, but Granderson, to me, was MVP. He carried the Yankees. He always,
yeah.
when he, Dusty, when he wasn't getting the big hit, the guy's out there making the great catch. I mean, the guy was doing it on both sides of the foul lines.
Mm-hmm.
Both, I mean,
he's a vacuum
gentlemen.
Player, so, you know.
So we got to take a mid break here, and then we're going to come back. I got nobody but my good buddy Carl Banks talking a little more football, and then we got some other things. But right now, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports in Depth is the show. It is a Thanksgiving special, and we are thankful to the good Lord that you're listening to us, and we just want to say hope you had a good gobble-gobble day, and every day is Thanksgiving. Gentlemen, let's take a break. We'll be right back after this word.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com, music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
There's two versions of the song I like, and it's one of my, I think it's the best piece of music that Kool and the Gang ever did was Summer Madness. But what we're going to do, the Giants lost a huge game on Sunday, and the schedule is not in their favor. They're at New Orleans this week, and then the Packers come in the next Sunday after a 10-day, I mean, the Packers played yesterday, so they won't be playing Sunday. They're going for an undefeated season. They're going to be rested, but it was just sort of, well, Carl Banks will talk about the big loss.
Well, see, he's warned us anyway, so.
Hey, he told us, hey
yeah,
we listen.
He warned
Carl
us.
Banks is going to, here you go, Carl.
On the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul is the station, one of the legendary Giants of all time. Carl, just a huge disappointment in a game that looked like, you know, we should have won.
Well, it is when you have an offense that could only gain 29 yards rushing, far below its 88-yard average, and much further below the 120 that Philadelphia gives up, and then defensively they couldn't get off the field on third down when they needed to. So in spite of having three turnovers, they still lose the game.
Yeah, Carl, and you know, we talked about stuff all year long. People were running up the middle against the Eagles, and the Giants, you said, didn't do it today.
Well, the Giants stayed with their brand of running, and versus a penetrating one-gap defensive line, when you pull guards and tackles, it causes disruption in the backfield.
Vince Young, three INTs and still comes away with a victory.
Well, look, he made the plays that he needed to on third down, and that's why they won the football game.
Mm-hmm. This kind of put him back in the picture? I mean, a win today kind of would have buried him?
Well, I don't know if they're back in the picture, but certainly they have helped the Dallas Cowboys get closer to the Giants, and the Giants now have to grind it out now.
The Eagles' offense, I mean, you got to miss a guy like Vic today, but did Young show you anything? He's able to win and able to do the job when Mike is not there?
Well, Vince Young executed the offense they called for him, and like I say, he made some bad plays, but his defense was so good tonight that when they needed him to keep drives alive, and he did it. The last drive of the football game, he didn't miss a third down.
Yeah, 8 minutes, 18 plays. That's the thing. That it seems like Philadelphia's defense has kind of gotten better. The big question was the offensive line, but defensively, on the defensive side, they've been pretty good all year long.
Well, they've been good when it counts, and that's really what it comes down to.
Carl, getting away from football when I faced up Pacquiao and the fight against Marquez, a lot of people thought the wrong guy got the decision.
Well, I looked at that fight, too, and I thought it could have went both ways. But when you're fighting the champion, you've got to be you've got to really convince the judges. And I think fighting not to lose the last few rounds hurt him.
Yeah. Carl, again, too, it seems to me, and talking to Tim Smith, in wake of what's happening, that it seems that maybe not so much Pacquiao, but maybe Bob Arum. I'm saying Bob Arum doesn't want to make the Pacquiao Mayweather fight. Pacquiao's his cash cow. Maybe he sees defeat there, but it doesn't seem that he's serious in making this fight that everybody says they want to see happen.
Well, you know, if Bob Arum's involved, he wants to maximize the dollar value, so maybe he believes time is on his side, and he'll get a, you know, it'll be a bigger draw if he waits a little longer.
Carl, something I've said, and there's a rumor about the jeopardy of this fight happening in New York City, but I think in the wake of what was found, Margarito suspended for the hands, I think he's a guy who really shouldn't be in boxing anymore. It's appalling that not only is he in boxing, but he's fighting for the big money and the world championship.
Well, it just goes to show how desperate boxing is at times. You know, they can suspend a guy and let him come back out, but it's, you know, allowing him back in the ring after putting, you know, cement in his gloves or whatever it was, and, you know, you're jeopardizing someone's life, and he shouldn't be allowed if he can't box by the rules.
Carl, if we still have the Mayweather Pacquiao, you still leaning toward Mayweather?
Yeah, I still like Mayweather, especially just it looks like Pacquiao's getting exposed for a lot of different things, and Mayweather's a pretty good defensive fighter, so, you know, I think it'll be a great fight, and I do believe Floyd will win it.
Thoughts and reflections on the loss and the career of the great Smoking Joe Frazier?
Well, you know, he's one of the guys that defined what the heavyweight division was all about, all heart. You really, you know, as a guy who refused to lose, and he gave it his all, and that was what made boxing great in that era. He never turned down a fight, came in and beat up on a lot of people.
Yeah. Only lost two guys, only lost four fights, Ali twice and DeForman twice. In their prime, they're at their best. Who wins? Smoking Joe Frazier and Iron Mike Tyson.
Oh, it's easy. Joe Frazier. Joe Frazier has a bigger heart. Look, if you can look at the fight, the Thriller in Manila, where neither fighter wanted to go down, they'd rather die than be knocked out, I don't think Mike Tyson's willing to go to the brink of death to win a fight.
You know, it's amazing. Tim Smith said the same thing you said. When you look at the heart and character of Joe Frazier, the heart and the character of Mike Tyson is not made of the same makeup.
Not close. Not close. As great a puncher as Mike Tyson was, I don't think he would last in that era of boxing beyond his punch, because you had guys that were willing to take his punch and come back with their own. And, you know, all you would have to do is look at the Tyson, Ali Frazier fight, and you can see that he would not have withstood that on the punch.
So there's no question that Tyson Ali is Ali unanimously?
Please. Do you even have to ask that question?
Carl, thanks a million.
Right.
You know, it reminds me.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports and Death is the show. Carl Banks after that. Lord Sea Wings, Jets lose Sunday, and it is officially over.
The Jets actually, and it's going to sound weird, but they're actually in a better place than the Giants. The Giants, what's killing them is the schedule that they have. I mean,
yep,
they have New Orleans and New Orleans, which is a tough place to play. Even to play them on their worst day is a tough game. They have Green Bay, then they have to play the Cowboys twice. The Giants, that game that they lost, they really put themselves, they might have kind of sealed the fate there. And with the Cowboys winning yesterday, I mean, you know, it was kind of pushing the Giants back, and they really put themselves in, painted themselves in a corner, as people would say. But we, is the Jets organization, they actually had some help last week when they lost. You had San Diego lose, you had the Bengals lose, you had Tennessee. So we're still in there. I mean, we have a fairly easy schedule, and if the Giants are playing like they are playing and they played last week, I think maybe the Jets could go 5-1, maybe even win the last couple of games, the last games of the season. Because you look at who we have to play. Buffalo, you know, after their quarterback got that big contract, he's basically played like Neil O'Brien. or even Interceptor Verdi, the way he was, you know, he's
he's playing real bad football. I mean, and they play with injuries as well. We have the Kansas City Chiefs, who are nothing basically but a practice team. The toughest opponent that we have coming up, that I would say at this
moment.
They
play really well. Us as receivers got to help them out on some of those
It's not even the Giants. It's Miami. Because Miami's playing with the heart now. And at this point in the stage of the game, if they keep playing like they play, they are our toughest opponent.
With all respect to C. Wayne's doc in the panel, really, as far as I see this, and C makes a lot of great points, but as far as I'm saying, from what I'm seeing of the Giants and Jets lately, it doesn't make a difference what their schedule is. They're both playing such lousy, uninspired ball that it doesn't make much of a difference. I mean, they don't look like they want to play. They don't look like they're ready to play. Quite frankly, both teams look like they're ready to go home and enjoy of the bliss of the off season. I don't see any fire. I don't see any desire. I don't see any sense of urgency to get it done. But frankly, they want to go home. So let them go.
Mel Smith Cosell telling that.
You know what I have to say? They, with this Rex Ryan thing and, you know, trying to inspire his quarterback by giving Mark Brunell the snaps. He'll never sit Mark Sanchez down. I mean, Mark Brunell, he was good. If you look at it, his last best games were in the late 90s. Through a whole decade, and you're telling me this is the best viable quarterback you can get?
He's taking the paycheck.
They should have went after Kyle Orton that just got cut.
Right.
Yeah, and, he just got cut off.
Yeah, they could have picked him up. And let Brunell go. Because he just. Clemens, I think Kyle Orton is a better. I think he's a better option than Clemens. Really never. Even when he stepped up for the Jets a couple of times, he never really was that quarterback. Okay. I mean,
you know,
seemed like.
Before you came on.
What about McNabb?
Okay.
McNabb was a viable option.
Well, hold on. Rooney, what point were you making?
Oh, no, Doc, I'll be brief. But I just wanted to say, C, that before you came on, I was saying, and don't forget that the Jets gave up some draft choices to move up to pick Sanchez in the first place. And also, see, I was saying to Doc and Doug to the panel that, you know, the Jets, don't forget, they played it kind of cheap during the offseason and letting – security blankets and receivers Braylon Edwards, Brad Smith, and Gerald McCautry.
Guys
that he was familiar with, who knew his patterns. Mm-hmm. He knew where they were going to be, knew how they were going to run the patterns. All three of them gone, see, and I think that had a lot to do with some of the lacking of offense.
But they can't protect Sanchez either.
There's certain plays where he could sit back and have coffee and donuts. And then most of the time, if you look at it, and it was shown in the Baltimore game, Doc.
To cut you off. You took the thought of my mind. He has never been the same since they sacked him in that first quarter, and Baltimore got the touchdown. That's been the psychological demise of Mark Sanchez, C. Wings.
Yep.
Well, they didn't sack him. I'm gonna use Little Mel. They kind of off the top rope on him. I mean, no one
really did, man. They did the smackdown on him in that play.
they were going for the triple leg lock figure four. I mean, they were really going out to hurt him. And in this last Denver game as well, I don't know if number 28, if he's going to get fined for that. We don't know. We're not sure. But when he kind of drove his head into his chest, took him down to the ground. They're really trying to hurt this guy. And Schottenheimer is not using him to his potential. When you saw Sanchez playing USC, he's not a mobile quarterback, and he kind of slowed down a little bit after he had that knee problem. But he's excellent on the rollout, play-action passes. He can kill you with that. He can put up 400 yards if you play him like that. But, you know, the good the wide receiver.
Well, Stewings, the question here is, well, the question here is, and we got to do this real quick because we got to get to talk to NBA in a second. But the question here is, Stewings, and if you know, well, I think Rooney kind of sums up the great Marty Shanahan. But I mean, if this is the thing we always say here. If we can sit here, and I understand I'm among geniuses, though. If we can sit here and see this, why can't Schottenheimer see it? Why can't Rex Ryan see it? I mean, this is obvious. I mean, a blind man, you know, why are we saying it's week in and week out, and why is this proven to be true week in and week out, and why they're not making it? And you made a great point. No, Burrell can take all the snaps he wants. Sanchez ain't going no place, so he's just perpetrating the fraud. But if this is such an obvious thing, why are those who are close to him, why are those in power, why are those who are supposed to know are unable to see this, Stewings? Why?
Go ahead, Stewings.
Thing. I mean, you look at the Jets, they've always been like that. I'll never get it out of my head is how they let you down. I was at the game when Dan Marino did the fake spike. The Jets have always recruited like this. I don't know if they were trying, like Mel said, they were doing it on the cheap in the off season. I could see getting rid of Braylon Edwards because he's a problem off the field. But Brad Smith, they should have tried to keep the team that they had last year
and absolutely
see if they could make that one more jump until they could get a viable quarterback. Because I'm telling you, if they're not protecting him, the way that he's been getting hit, he may not last the season. I mean,
in the words of Marvin Gaye, he won't be doggone, he'll be long gone. Gentlemen, we've got to get to the NBA real quick here.
A lot has to be said for the mindset of the management. Where, Rex Ryan is a defensive coach, and when he this is how he's going to play. This is what happened with Pittsburgh last year. They won the toss, and they gave it to Pittsburgh. And said, no, I'm a defensive. I would rather have my defense out there than my offense. That's stupid.
But Dusty, it's obvious that changes
football,
have to be
man.
Made.
He made the wrong decision, Doc.
But he keeps making wrong decisions. I mean, somewhere along the line,
the
gentlemen.
Point. He keeps making wrong decisions.
His job has got to be on the line.
Has him. I mean, that's the point, and I think, see, when you're correct, it's the business, it's management. They make those decisions, and
Mel
to tell them what to do. We're nobody. Really,
but you know what? All New York teams seem to do like that, and I think...
Exactly.
I think, I'm not going to say all New York teams, but I'm going to say specifically the Knicks organization and the Jets organization, and I think that Hoops could even back me up with that. The way that
the New York state of mind, you're saying?
Yeah,
the New York state of mind, Stewings?
For some reason, they're more worried about the fluff instead of the fight. Let's put big names up there, but whether we bring that championship home, that's what it appears to me. Even with the Knicks, I mean, they just can't. These New York teams is something that they're missing. They got that one leg over the wall, but it's like they tie the other one up to the ground where you can't move. They're just stuck in limbo. They can't
like that.
Get
let's,
over
let's
that.
Let's move real quick to the NBA. Hoopster, said this originally. You said this back in the summer. You said there would be a strike. And then as things went on, you said it don't look good. Then you said, you know what? We may not have a season, but you said there is a possibility. You say, you know, when all hope seems lost, the one shot left, you said, is if they do play basketball, they will play it
January.
From December to January. And right now, that's what they're saying. Talk to us, Hoopster.
Yeah, good evening, y'all. What's up?
How you doing?
Hey, who?
What do you want to know, Doc?
What's going
on
right now? What's happening? What's happening at all?
Well,
what's happening?
Well, they've been talking since Monday and Tuesday. So they're still fighting in court right now in the United States court in Minnesota, in the district court in Minnesota. So the lawsuit, they got to respond. The owners got to respond by December 3rd. Yep. So that's about it. So maybe by January, they're going to try to get a 50-game-in season. Is there a ritual? They're trying to make a play like a 66-game season.
Wow.
So do you think the Knicks will make it to the postseason or the finals like they did back in, what was
well,
that, 99?
Can I tell you something? Let me tell you something right now. I'm going to let everybody know. Watch out for the Knicks. Because when Carmelo came, they didn't gel right. When they started gelling together, watch them. They're going to be tough. You watch.
Yeah.
They're going to be tough to beat. Everybody don't sleep on the Knicks. Because Carmelo just came in, so he didn't know the offense. But now they start to gel together, they're going to be tough. They're going to be tough to beat.
Well, if they do play, wouldn't this season, whoever wins the championship, it will have an asterisk next to the championship because it's not a full season? I mean, it'd be questionable. So you play 50 games, so what? I mean,
yeah,
you play 50 games to keep us entertained.
That's about it. I guess whoever wins the trophy or the finals, they'll get a WNBA trophy instead of NBA because they're playing
oh,
the
man.
WNBA.
Boy, it's getting rough around here. And listen, you know what? Some teams ain't going to win 50 games anyway. What the heck? It comes out about – you know what? You look at it, it seems that that Kobe Bryant really started taking a serious interest into this whole thing. What's his stand on this stuff now? I mean, he was playing in Italy.
Lamar Odom just signed with Waves overseas.
Really?
He was playing with Frank the King. Yeah, he went overseas. He just signed. He broke out. He's playing with Devin Williams with New Jersey Nets. So he's going over there to play. And some more boys might be going over there, too. Iverson, your buddy Iverson might be going over there, too.
Wasn't Iverson over there last year for a while?
Yeah, but he might be playing with he might be hooking up with Devin Harris and Lamar Odom.
Exactly,
yeah.
Doc Stanley,
hey,
Sports and Depth on
the
Blake Griffin Network, the Rainbow Soul of the Channel. Sports and Depth is your show. This is a Thanksgiving special. You've heard
interviews. Some more news, Doc.
Hold on, Hoopsa. We heard some stuff from Carl Banks, Larry Hardesty, Tim Smith, and it seemed everybody was a consensus that Tyson and Joe Frazier was all Joe Frazier, and also Bobby Childs from Kiss FM. Those are some of the voices that you heard on interviews, and of course also the greatest African-American sportscast in the history of New York City, Larry Hardesty. We've talked basketball right now. We're talking basketball, Hoopsa. We had some football early and some boxing. In the latest situation, what's happening with the NBA, and we're back to the Hoopsa. Hoopsa, what else is going on?
Yeah, we also lost Walt Hazard. He was a player with the UCLA back in 64.
Yeah.
He died in 69.
In fact, Hazard was the captain on the first team that ever won the NCAA for John Wooden. And, you know,
that's
the amazing
right.
thing about him, it's a sad commentary, but it's so much a part of America. And I want to thank everybody for listening to last week when we had the special on Brazil and maybe a little apologetic in some way deviating away and not kind of interject a little more sports. And we want to say thank you to Rosie, my good friend, she's one of my Brazilian listeners. She always listens, and they literally love the soundtrack. And want to say her, I hope her dad is feeling better, and want to thank her for always listening. And she was very, she said she really liked the music. I want to thank Big C. She said we touched on some very roots music that touched the core and fiber of Brazil, and we want to thank her so much for always listening in. I mean, we've got listeners all over. We want to thank all of you for listening in. Just wanted to signal her out just in this Thanksgiving week, special prayer out to her dad. And we're getting back to some of the basketball. As you know, Brazil will have the World Cup in 2014, the first Latin country ever to host the Olympics. They'll have that in 2016. And
yeah.
I'll be back over there about next month this time. We'll to get our production right to get the shows coming from here where they should have. But where's Kobe Bryant stand on it? I mean, you told us Mike, it's kind of obvious. Mike's the owner, so he's standing with the owner. Where's Kobe on this thing now?
He want to play. He wants this resolved. He want to play. But, you know, it's so funny. He want to play. He never, everybody asked him about the coach. He never gave nobody no answer.
Now, why is that? Does it mean Kobe doesn't like the coach? And reading that excerpt, and Dusty, you read some everything, so you read that too.
I can tell you why.
Come on, let it go, let it flow. Why?
Okay, because of LeBron James.
Really?
That's why.
Wow.
Why? Well, now, why would that have anything to interject with the coach thing? Because the guy used to coach LeBron?
That's correct.
Are you serious?
No,
well,
this is
what I told you, Doc, about the prima donna
He let LeBron James never listen to him, so he figured he ain't had no discipline over there. That's why.
You know, it's funny, Dusty, that you came up with that. Go ahead, Dusty. Go ahead.
Yeah, these are prima donnas in this business. You know, I tell you again and I repeat again until I'm blue in the face, you were hired because of your talent to play a kid's sport, and you paid millions and millions of dollars. Don't come up here with attitudes, because as I hire you and I'll fire you.
You know what was amazing that I found out that Phil Jackson didn't get along with Jerry West. That's why West left.
Yeah.
He said Jackson's office was right next to his. The guy never came in and said good morning.
Yeah.
Never had a cup of coffee with him.
Nothing.
You know, you're amazed at some
personalities.
Of, the little petty things. I mean
exactly.
Miles Davis. I love Miles. Miles said that Charlie Parker was his idol. And he said, he said, and all the time he knew Charlie Parker, he must have spoke to him 15 minutes in total time.
I got something else to tell you, too, on the show.
Let have who?
If you talk about Phil Jackson, don't be surprised he come back to coach.
Well, he misses it. Yeah.
Is
it the money he misses or the coaching that he misses? Now, my thing with Phil Jackson, Rooney, is that as great as a coach he's supposed to be, he has never coached a team in the same vein as Larry Brown, as Red Holtzman, as Byron Scott.
Well,
every team that he's coached has been already prepared and loaded with stars, Rooney.
He told me coaching when he come back. I'm going to let you know, this panel know right now. I want the world to hear from me. He's going to be coaching the New York Knicks. Don't be surprised. You heard that from me. The Knicks. Don't be surprised.
Action Jackson.
Because this guy's contract's about to be up soon. D'Antoni.
I think he's going to be gone. They're going to get rid of him.
Don't be surprised.
What'd you say, C-Wings?
Well, you know, my thing on that is,
I think
when it comes to that,
Hold on. C-Wings.
I think his days are numbered. He's really wearing out his welcome. He needs a defensive coach, assistant, like Doc Rivers has and most other coaches have. You can't do everything.
They hired Mike Woodson. He's a good defensive coach. They got a defensive coach. Mike Woodson.
Yeah.
He teaches defense. He don't play.
But I think they used to cringe when they said they were bringing him there.
The guy is not known to be a defensive coach anyway. And what I didn't like, it's an amazing thing in this, you know, our society, which is always about black and white. You know, I mean, he set down a black player just to teach him stuff. And it wasn't about, you know, I'm going to teach this guy something. I'm not worried. I'll lose. I don't know if you get Gary Ward, who told me about the Yankees, that the Yankees would rather lose with a certain type of player than win with black players. I mean, and we're going to do a show this week. This is coming Sunday, Doc Stanley Sports and Depth. Sports and Depth is going to take an in-depth look at the complexion and the Latin connection in Major League Baseball. And I had a guy, Lotto Samuels, who had a great line. I mean, and he said something that was like mind-boggling. He said, for the last 7 years, that's our 90-second warning, gang. John Coltrane opens up.
Okay.
Stanley Turrentine closes up for us. And he said, you know, baseball is at the point now, you know, and this is something that's really appalling, but it's America. It's America. They are drafting guys of a certain complexion. You know, they're drafting baseball players of a like, and if you look back and look at it, you'd be like, whoa, I mean, this guy the other day in Rotterdam, this is the guy that they are drafting. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Ritter Network, Rainbow Soda Channel.
Reverse baseball apartheid.
You love it, Dusty. Gentlemen, three thoughts. Live life today, have to stand before God tomorrow. Life's most insistent and most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others is meant to pay for your space on earth. Don't anybody move. Larry Hardesty, tell everybody good night.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth. Gentlemen, you got no doubt one of the blessings that I've had in my lifetime in this show. We thank you so much. Dusty, you got 5 seconds. Tell everybody goodbye and say it in English.
me no speak English. Good night. God bless you. And I certainly hope you enjoy your Thanksgiving Day. But remember one thing, that Thanksgiving is every day. And this is a blessed day when we can get together and talk, discuss, debate, but show much love for each other. And at the same time, always know that we can come back and still discuss some more. God bless all of you. And
Dusty, hold on. Dusty, on the comeback thing, don't come back Sunday.
Okay, I'm going to the Latin Grammys.
Wow.
Later for you. I'm going to MC the Latin Grammys.
Was that Jennifer Lopez? Hey, Doc, can I ask Mel, is The Rock here to stay in the WWE?
I'm sorry, Looney. Is Rock staying?
Yeah.
He'll be making some spot appearances for the big events, your SummerSlams, your WrestleManias. He'll make about 5 appearances a day for the bigger pay-per-view.
And plus, he's filming a work on G.I. Joe right now as we speak.
Wow. Yeah, he is. In between his movie commitments, he'll pop in for the big wrestling pay-per-views, your SummerSlams, your Survivor Series, your WrestleManias. He'll make 5 or 6 appearances a year for the pay-per-view.
Okay, here's the last question. Dusty, is Jennifer Lopez going to be at the Latin Grammys?
Oh, she's my personal escort.
Mm-hmm. Hey, listen. Dusty, can I speak to the wife for a minute?
She's not here. She's gone for the last 5 years.
Wow. I wonder why.
Gang, we'll see you Sunday. Love you, baby.
God bless everybody.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Always leave us with a laugh. Thank you. Oh, God.